Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Playing today is Luke Leavenworth from Gurnee, Illinois. Luke is a high school math teacher, and his expert categories are Pokemon Red and Blue, Star Wars Episodes 4 through 6, Final Fantasy X, and K-12 Mathematics. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require 1, 2, 3, and 4 keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have 5 bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. All right, Luke, are you ready to begin your Lockdown Trivia game?
I'm as ready as I'm going to get, Dalton.
All right, well, your four categories today are Pokemon Red and Blue, Star Wars Episodes 4 through 6, Final Fantasy X, and K-12 Mathematics. So I'm going to give the content warning at the beginning here. This is going to be a nerdy episode for those listening.
We could subtitle this, Luke had more good grades than friends growing up, if we wanted to.
Fair enough. All right, Well, Luke, where would you like to begin your Lockdown Trivia game?
Oh, man. I'm going to save the bonuses for when I inevitably mess something up. I'm nervous about the Pokemon and Star Wars categories because it's been a long time since I've engaged regularly with them. But when I did, it was nonstop. So enough stalling. Let's try Pokemon Red and Blue for the unlocked one, please.
All right. The unlocked Pokemon Red and Blue question. This is a category about the gym leaders and the Elite Four from the Pokemon Red and Blue games. Your unlocked question is this. While it is heavily associated with Misty in the anime, what Pokemon with a bad headache is not used by Misty during the second gym battle?
She does not use Psyduck, and he is almost a main character in that anime. So we're going to go with Psyduck here.
That is correct.
Good.
Psyduck, the correct answer. All right, one key from Pokemon. What's next?
All right, let's keep it running in the Pokemon category. Let's see if we can make it to the top.
The one key Pokemon question. The third gym leader is a war veteran, an electric Pokemon trainer who is discharged, pun intended,
nice,
with what rank?
Lieutenant Surge is the name that comes to mind, so we'll lock that in.
Lieutenant is correct. Surge is the pun. He is your third gym leader. You're doing well in Pokemon so far. You've got two keys. Are we going to continue or are we going to jump somewhere?
Let's keep it running.
All right. Your two key Pokemon question is this. You would face two gym battles in a row of all poison-type Pokemon if it were not for what grass-type-only Pokemon of Erika's that does not evolve in the first generation.
So now we're getting into it. A grass-type Pokemon that doesn't evolve. I don't know if Tangela is a poison-type or not, but that is the only thing that's coming to mind that I know doesn't have an evolution. So we'll go Tangela or Tangela, however you say that Pokemon's name. I don't think I ever learned.
Well, you are correct. It is Tangela. I've always said Tangela because Tangle was the pun to me, so that's how I said it.
Sure.
But correct. Good job.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, both Victory Bell, Vileplume, and then all of Koga's Pokemon are poison types, so only Tangela gives you a release there for two in a row. Good job.
All right.
All right, your three key Pokemon question is this. There is only one case of a gym leader using a Pokemon that is neither primarily nor secondarily the gym leader's typing. Name that Pokemon.
Oh, that's interesting. Ooh. All right. Brock has Geodude and Onix. Not there. Misty has all water type. Surge has a Voltorb and a Pikachu and a Raichu. So the thing that jumped to mind is Giovanni's Persian at the end of the game. And I don't know if that's in yellow or if that's in red and blue, but that's what I'm going to go with because I don't have a better fast option.
Luke, unfortunately, for the first time in this episode, I will have to take your keys.
Ooh.
Yes. You sussed out that Giovanni had a Persian in yellow. But as
our, I thought.
Yep, red and blue, he did not. Sabrina had a Venomoth, which is a bug and poison type.
Sure is, and I didn't remember that at all. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
So take in your keys, but you have plenty of place to play here. Where are we going to go next?
Okay, let's kind of approach these in order of lowest confidence to highest confidence. Could we do the Star Wars, please?
All right. Here's a category about the differences between the original releases of 4, 5, and 6 and the 1997 remastered releases of 4, 5, and 6. Your unlocked Star Wars question is this. Luke originally said, "You're lucky you don't taste very good." To what character, after he is spit out by a dragon snake on Dagobah, changed to, "You were lucky to get out of there" in the remake?
Oh, no. I don't know if this is going to be Yoda or R2, because those are the only two things or people or entities that were with him. Oh, man, have you ever had anybody miss an unlocked question?
Not yet.
Well, let's be the first. I'm going to say R2-D2.
Well, you will not be the first,
nice.
Luke.
Good.
Yes, it is R2. Although I would have probably dramatically changed the plot of the movie had Yoda been spit up by something.
I couldn't imagine, you know, the inhabitant being eaten by... Yeah, we logic'd it the right way.
You got it right. All right, one key back in your pocket. Where are we going next?
That's terrifying, but we're going to keep going with Star Wars here.
All right, your one key Star Wars question is this. In A New Hope, large Praxis effect shockwaves are added to the destruction of what planet to make the explosion seem more realistic?
This should be Alderaan.
It is Alderaan. That is correct. I, born in 1995, only saw the remakes. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I saw the originals. And man, that explosion is quite different.
So I have never seen the originals. I have only seen the remakes and beyond. So when you introduced this category, I went, oh, because I was in fourth grade when they re-released those remakes in theaters, kind of in anticipation of the prequels. And that was my first entrance to Star Wars, period, at all. And
cool.
So
that could bode well for you, as I had the same experience.
All right. We'll go with it.
Two key Star Wars question next,
yes,
is
sir.
What bounty hunter didn't even try to shoot Han Solo at the Mos Eisley Cantina originally, but shot and missed in the remastered version of A New Hope?
Greedo is what you're looking for here.
Greedo is correct.
Uta Guta Dalton.
All right, three keys. Where's next?
Yeah, we're gonna take advantage of having the three keys and open the Star Wars question and hopefully double back to Pokemon if we get that far.
All right, your three key Star Wars question is this. Hayden Christensen appears as a Force ghost of Anakin Skywalker at the end of Return of the Jedi, but it was originally what actor who played the unmasked Darth Vader?
Yeah, I don't know his name. We're going to go with a Lucky Johnson here. I usually try to be funnier than that, but that might actually have a chance.
Unfortunately, it did not have a chance.
Yeah.
Originally, Darth Vader behind the mask was played by Sebastian Shaw.
Okay.
So that he was originally the ghost, and they brought it to a younger audience, and they just made it Hayden Christensen.
Shout out to him. Yeah, I knew about the actor switch. I would have never been able to name the actor there.
Fair enough. All right. No more keys. They've been taken.
Yes.
Where to?
Let's kind of just run down the board. Let's go to Final Fantasy X, please.
All right. In this category, the name of one of the playable Final Fantasy X characters will either appear in the answer, or the question will be adjacently / directly about them. So it's about the playable characters.
I got it.
Your unlocked Final Fantasy X question is this. What company founded in 1998 as a retailer of yoga pants and other yoga wear has now expanded to sell all sorts of athletic gear at a premium cost?
This is Lululemon. Shout out to Lulu.
Shout out to Lulu and the correct answer of Lululemon. Yes. One key. Are we going to continue what the strategy is here?
Yeah, this is a fun category, and I'm already nervous, but let's try one key.
All right, the one key Final Fantasy X question. With a name that rhymes with a playable character from Final Fantasy X, what company that offers streaming players, smart TVs, and free TV streaming services was the market leader in streaming video distribution in 2024?
That's interesting. I believe this is Roku, which rhymes with Riku.
That is correct. Roku. This is, we talked about it in my debrief of a previous episode, but this is what happens when you ask for a category I don't know anything about.
Absolutely. It's fun. It's good. When I go back on tangents, when I go on tangents at all, I look for the wordplay categories just in general. So this is fun.
Good deal. All right. Two keys in your pocket. I don't want to assume.
No, but let's keep it running. Final Fantasy for two, please.
All right. Change one letter of a playable Final Fantasy X character's name, and you'll get the first word in the title of what play by William Shakespeare?
Titus Andronicus.
Titus Andronicus is correct. The Final Fantasy character's name is, of course...
Titus, or some say Titus, and I can't get on board with that. He's Titus in my brain forever.
And for those that are just listening and also know nothing about Final Fantasy X, like myself, the difference in letter was changing it from a Titus with a D to Titus with a T.
Correct.
All right, three keys in your pocket again. This has been the roadblock in the categories thus far.
I don't like that at all. Hopefully we can make some headway. I'll take Final Fantasy for three keys, please.
All right. Not to be confused with the Yankees great who married Marilyn Monroe. What voice actor lent his voice to both Waka and Kimari in Final Fantasy X?
It's when we get into the actors that I am running out of steam here. Can we just say DiMaggio and hope that's enough?
Because it's Jeopardy rules, I will have to accept.
I love it. Tell me more, though.
John DiMaggio is the person who voiced the two of them, and you Jeopardy your rule through your roadblock to get the three-key question correct.
I usually don't do that, but that was my only shot there because I had no idea.
Fair enough. All right. Four keys for the first time in the game. You have a little bit of a choice now.
I know, and this is where I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. You haven't asked me about the Elite Four, and it would be totally appropriate for you to put the Elite Four behind a four-key category. And I'm not even sure if I could name the Elite Four, let alone tell you about their teams. But with all that preamble, we'll go there anyway. Pokemon Red and Blue for four keys, please.
You know me so well, Luke. Here's your question. The Elite Four has three instances of Pokemon being used twice in one battle by the same trainer. Name two of those Pokemon.
I don't know if I can name one. So I don't think your rival repeats a Pokemon. And again, now we're getting into the yellow versus blue. I don't. There's the poison ghost type person. I think her name is Agatha. There is the dragon guy. I don't remember his name. And then I am totally blank on even who the remaining of the four are. Agatha, the dragon person. And then what were the other? They had like general. There was an ice person. Because they were all kind of like categories you didn't encounter. And in some of cases, they weren't even like formal categories until later games. If I remember, like, I don't think dragon was like a formal category in the first gen games, even though there were plenty of dragon category Pokemon. Oh my gosh.
And the way I structure the answers in this, and since I said there are three, name two, I'll let you guess three. If two are correct, it'll satisfy the question.
That's kind of you. So we're gonna guess. I feel like there were, I don't think there were multiple Gengars in the ghost. I think there were multiple Haunters. So Haunter is going to be one of my guesses. Then the dragons. I don't know if there were two, because Gyarados was in there too. Oh man, I'm going to steal my old Game Boy Color out of my son's room when we're done with this and just rip through a game real fast, I think. I'm going to go with Gyarados as a second guess. Okay. Dragon, ice, ghost. I know there was like a seal and dugong combo. I don't think any of the legendaries were on there because that would like defeat the purpose of like hunting down the legendaries. Oh, there was like a big burly guy. Wasn't like another rock? But there were so many Onyxes in that game. Let's go with Onyx for the third guess. So we'll go Haunter and Gyarados and Onyx for my three guesses, but I don't think they're right.
Luke, you got one of them.
Okay.
Bruno did have two Onyx.
Okay.
Agatha started and ended her battle with a Gengar.
Oh, she did have two of them.
And Lance, back to back, had two Dragonairs. Those are the three Pokemon that are used twice by the same trainer in the Elite Four.
Fair enough. All right.
All right. You did get to all your Pokemon questions. And for what it's worth, we haven't touched our bonus questions yet, and you have seen a lot of your questions. So kudos to that. Where do you want to go now that we have no more keys?
All right. I'm terrified of ever putting math on a podcast because it is my profession, and I am charged with teaching the youth of America such content. But we're going to go K-12 math terms unlocked, please.
All right. In this category, I will read the definition of a math term. You will tell me which mathematical term I'm talking about.
Okay.
Don't be too scared of the first one. Unlocked math question is this. An unknown or placeholder in an algebraic expression, usually denoted by a letter.
Usually denoted by a letter. When I teach algebra to my freshmen, I introduce the Batman symbol first as a variable.
It's a variable. Do you really?
I do. Honest to God. We talk about, they're like X and N. And then I'm like, yeah, but you could also do like a cow and the Batman symbol. And that's a whole thing.
Have you become good at drawing the Batman symbol, or do you just accept that you're bad at it?
I am a ringer on any Pictionary squad. That is one of my actual true hidden talents, is I am quite the doodler after years of undiagnosed ADHD.
We talk all the time about science teachers. We joke like, hey, I'm not really an artist, but like the best kept secret for me was always as a science teacher that I actually could draw quite a bit.
My graphs are not amazing. I'm not the best that I've ever encountered, but I'm in the top quarter, let's say.
Fair enough. All right. You've got a key from math.
Yeah, where are we going? Let's keep it running. K-12 math, right. Please.
Your one key math question. Here's the definition. I need to stop calling them questions. I do this in before and after two. Your one key math clue. Here's the definition. Identical in size and shape, usually in reference to angles or triangles.
I think the word you're looking for here is congruent.
Congruent is correct. Two keys.
Two keys for math.
All right, we're going to keep it rolling. A symbol shaped like a check mark that is used to indicate the square root or nth root of a number.
I think you're looking for radical here.
Yes, I thought about adding a backdoor of politics to this question, and I'm glad I didn't need to.
Awesome. Let's keep it moving for three keys.
Your three key math clue is this. A thin sheet of material. These are thin enough that, for mathematical purposes, they can be treated as if they are two-dimensional.
I don't know if I know that. I guess I don't know this one. I'm going to say sheet. I don't know.
Correct answer here is a lamina.
Oh, I didn't know that. You found one. Well done.
Fair enough. Not that I'm rooting for that, but...
Three keys can go take a hike. This has not been my day with those.
Yeah, you're 12 for 12 on the unlock through two, so there is that.
There is that. That doesn't...
Now, we do have a bit of a challenge ahead of us in that the only content questions left in your categories are the four key questions. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we got to ride these bonus questions and see if we can get back to your categories. Which bonus question would you like to start with?
I'd like to start with what I think is going to be my worst. I'm going to go with deep cuts.
Deep cuts. Luke's requested music genre for deep cuts today was pop girlies.
Yeah, my daughter is almost 10, and we listen to like Olivia Rodrigo and Chappell Roan exclusively. So we're going to see how this goes.
Well, here are five song titles from the first album of a pop girly. Honeymoon Avenue, Right There, Tattooed Heart, Daydreamin', Better Left Unsaid.
I should have just gone with the Wicked soundtrack if we were really going off of my daughter's preferences. I'm going to guess Ariana Grande for that reason, but I'm not confident.
Well, there's your pull of the game, Luke.
Nice.
Yes, The Wicked served you well. It is Ariana Grande's first album.
Shout out to her.
And I think that's ironic that the clue that's been playing hardest for people is no problem at all for Luke Leavenworth. And his self-proclaimed worst thing is his music. You got your deep cuts question.
I'll take it. Okay, so that's one key. I'm still trying to build up to four, though.
Correct.
History is probably my next worst. So let's try When in the World.
All right. And this clue, I will give you three things that happened in a given calendar year. You will try to identify the exact year. Here they are. Apple launches iTunes. The Office of Homeland Security is founded. Microsoft releases the Xbox.
Well, Homeland Security was in direct... response to September 11th in 2001. Now I need to think... if that was unveiled immediately or like at the State of the Union the following year. But 2001 for Xbox makes sense also. Oh, I'm going to say 2001 and then nod sadly if it's 2002.
I'm glad you trusted your gut.
Okay.
It is 2001.
Good.
That's the how do you write a win in the world about 2001 without mentioning 9/11 directly question.
True.
Yeah. True. But you are doing what you need to do so far, and you're worried about those two, but you're two for two, and you only need two of your next three bonus questions to get to your expert categories again.
That's right.
Where are we going next?
I don't lose keys if I miss these bonuses, right? Is
correct.
That thing? Okay.
Yep. These are all totally right, no risk.
That takes the pressure off. So let's just, in the interest of moving and greening or redding out this grid in order, let's try National Blank Day.
National Blank Day. As of recording, today is National Film Score Day.
Cool.
Here's your question. While he may have seemed an unusual choice for one of the most ambitious productions in cinema history, what composer won 3 Oscars, 4 Grammys, and 3 Golden Globes for his work on Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings. Oh, I can even name songs off that score, which is something I don't, or certainly not normally able to do. But do I know his name? I mean, like, you've got your John Williams, which I don't think he was involved in Lord of the Rings. You've got Hans Zimmer, which I don't associate with Lord of the Rings. Like, those are the two names I have in my brain for just composers in general related to movies. Danny Elfman is in there, but that's like Beetlejuice, and Alan Menken comes to mind for like Disney stuff. Let's do Danny Elfman and just turn this bubble red right now.
Well, you correctly predicted that this bubble's going to turn red.
Thanks.
This is Howard Shore.
Okay, I don't even have that name in my brain until just now.
So. Fair enough. Well, we've got 2 more bonus questions. If you get them both, we'll get back to your categories. If you miss even one,
I know.
It'll be right there. Which one is next?
All right. I love before and afters. Let's do before and after. Let's feel better.
It's my favorite trivia category. A Food Network competition show where the contestants don't know what they're cooking until they open a basket is judged by the titular 3 main characters of a Cartoon Network show that all have variations of the same name.
Okay. So the Cartoon Network is Ed, Ed, and Eddie. And I'm like really hit or miss on Food Network just because my dad watched Food Network growing up a lot. And the only cooking or food show that ends in Ed is, so like, would the answer here be like Chopped Ed and Eddie? I'm trying to think if there's any other options here. Because, like, that's technically a before and after, but it doesn't feel like a before and after when you say it. But, like, the only other thing, the mystery ingredient, like, that's, I think of, like, Iron Chef, but that doesn't fit Iron Chef America. Let's go with Chopped Ed and Eddie.
It is technically a before and after, and it is more technically the correct answer to
hell
this
yeah.
clue. Good job.
All right. Good writing. This
Chopped
is fun.
Ed and Eddie. That is a combination of 2 of my favorite shows ever. All right. We're here. Stormy trivia.
Yeah.
Here is a question that I think you should know. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
For those that are listening, Luke's camera says Luke Leavenworth, parentheses, Gurnee, Illinois.
Oh, no.
Here's your question. Gurnee, Illinois is one of the many locations you can go to Six Flags in, but the park was originally called what? The same name as a hotel chain.
Same name as a hotel chain. So I moved to Gurnee as an adult and grew up in the farther south suburbs of Chicago. Same as a hotel chain. All right, I'm actually legit getting out some paper here. Let's slam some hotel chains. And now they're all going to drop from my brain. I don't think like they would have called it Marriott or Holiday Inn, Great America. Oh my gosh. Howard Johnson's Great America. That was a hotel. Right. See, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to get reactions out of you so I can like roll things out.
The metagaming is fun, but man, I can't imagine going to Howard Johnson's Great America.
I mean, it's kind of just baked into the title. That just makes me think of Blazing Saddles, which also could have been a category on this game. Marriott, Hilton, Holiday Inn. I'm thinking of the biggies. NBC Suites, Great America. No, that doesn't feel good. Let's go, only because there is a Holiday Inn down the street. Let's go with Holiday Inn, Great America.
Luke, unfortunately, our game's going to end here today.
Sad day.
You were all over it. It was one of the ones you said.
Of course it was.
It was Marriott's Great America.
It was.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So, unfortunately, that is where a game of lockdown trivia will end.
Boo. Not you. Boo to me. This is a self-deprecating boo. Goodness.
But 16 points is pretty strong score in a pretty tough game.
It was a tough game. Shout out to Lulu and to Ariana Grande. Shout outs to 3 key questions. I look, oh man, those grayed out 4 keys are just killing me sitting there on the screen.
I know, maybe another time.
Moralizing. Maybe another time. It was cool hanging out with you, Dalton. This is a really fun show. I'm happy to be on some of the early episodes to hopefully get this going with you.
Awesome. Any shout outs or things coming up that you want to mention before we get out of here?
I still claim to justify my appearances in my Patreon spendings by talking about my wife's nonprofit. She is employee number one at Keeping Families Covered in Waukegan, Illinois. They're a member of the National Diaper Bank Network. Diapers are rarely, if ever, covered by federal programs. So people need help, especially when they fall on hard times. So if you have funds to donate, donate to Patreons of Trivia Content Creators, but then go to the National Diaper Bank Network. Or if you're nearby to me, Keeping Families.
Awesome. Great awareness for that. That is true. For anybody that's grown up with a single mom situation, appreciates that shout out. Thank you for that. All right. Thanks, Luke. And we'll see you next time. Thanks again, Luke, for being on the show. Everyone, Luke Leavenworth is genuinely such a joy to have on, and such a good person to be around. So I really appreciated him joining. And clearly he was an expert in his categories. He did quite well today. Those three key questions definitely were the roadblock. And so I wondered, when I was looking back on the game with him after recording, were they actually the three key questions, or did I just put them there? And by that I mean, should those have been the four key questions? And as it turns out, only in one case did he get the four key question, but not the three key question. So we felt pretty good afterwards, after the fact, looking back on it, saying, yeah, that was definitely an appropriately difficult game. There was a pretty significant jump in difficulty up from 2 to 3, but that was maybe the learning experience from this. And when you look at questions you've written, you don't have to do a different question to change the difficulty. You can make little tweaks. You can have a backdoor that's maybe a little more explicit in what you're insinuating, or you can pull away a little bit of the detail to make it a little bit harder. If you feel like a question is playing hard, especially if you're testing it on somebody that knows the topic, try those things. Try adding one word difference that might give a little extra or a little less detail, and see if that completely changes it. It's those little nuggets in questions that help people get it. And they just need to RTFQ, you know, and if they do that and they find that one thing they latched onto, a lot of times that will be it. You remove that one thing, it suddenly becomes an impossible question. So the episode's lesson for me this game was, make sure you're fine tuning questions after writing them and having fun with, you know, the art of the question. Make sure you fine tune the art to be really intentionally that difficulty, at least to the best of your ability. Like we've said before, sometimes they will or will not know it, and you can't really control that. Past that, Luke was a joy. He gave me categories I got to write from my own knowledge base, with the exception of that Final Fantasy X category, and for that, I had such a good time. So thanks again, Luke, and we'll see you next time. Our bonus question this game is near and dear to my heart, and it comes from the Star Wars Episodes 4 through 6 category. Luke asked that I tell the story of why this question is near and dear to my heart, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. I was at a pub trivia at Ingrained in Springfield, Illinois. It was a Star Wars-themed trivia night, so I got my biggest nerd friends together, and we sat down, and we got some craft beers and some appetizers, and we sat down and played. And it was packed. I mean, every seat and more was filled in this place. And we get to one of the final rounds, and the category are the differences between the original releases of 4, 5, and 6 and the 1997 remastered releases, which is what inspired writing this category today. And one of the questions they asked at the very end of the category was this bonus question. Jabba's Palace features a new musical number with what title in Return of the Jedi, sung by the CGI'd character Snai Snoodles? While you think on that, if you'd like to sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia, make sure you sign up with the form that is linked in the description of each episode. You'll need 4 expert categories and your favorite music genre. Thanks again, Luke, for being on and being such a great sport. When I answered this question correctly and turned in our papers, before the host announced the actual answer, he said, "Well, there's at least one giant nerd in this bar." And as it turns out, the only reason I was the only person in the bar to know this answer is because I play piano, and I had a Star Wars piano book that my mom got when I was much younger. So, what's the very last song of this Star Wars piano book? It's the correct answer to this question, and that is Jedi Rocks. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back wherever you get your podcasts for some more Lockdown Trivia fun. My name is Dalton McGee, and I've been your host. I can't wait to continue to research, continue to write, and continue to play. But most importantly, continue to learn as we unlock your brain one key at a time. My brother will be upset to know that the real time of this recording is how long it took you. There was no edit to shorten that because it took him quite a while when I bounced that one off of him.
I feel, as I tell my students who are now much younger than I am, the 151, I'm pretty good with. When you said gym leaders and Elite Four, I got a little nervous just because I haven't played through, especially the Elite Four, and I'm sure that's coming up. So maybe we just head to Three Keys and see where they fall.
Don't want to jinx ourselves.
No.
No pun intended again.
Stop talking. Yes, that's Jinx with a Y for sure.